I'd like to give everyone a warm welcome to our service here today. If there are any visitors with us, you're more than welcome. Also, I'd like to give a warm welcome to our speaker, the Reverend Victor Patterson. You're no stranger to our pulpit, and we look forward to hearing your message later on. I take it there's, you mostly have got announcement sheets. The midweek Bible study, the prayer meeting, and Bible study will continue via Zoom at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. The study booklet notes for this week's study can be found on the church website. Youth Club. The Joint Church Youth Club will, God willing, meet on Friday the 3rd of December from 7 to 8:30 for children who attend P1 and 7, P7. Leaders, helpers, please remember to meet at 6:30 to set up everything. Our daily bread. Anyone wishing to give a donation towards their daily bread, Bible reading notes, please put it in a marked envelope in the plate on the porch. And the Presbyterian Herald, the autumn edition of the Presbyterian Herald is now available for collection in the church festival. I think that's handed over to the Reverend Patterson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to join with you once again this morning in worship. It's such a beautiful morning. It's great indeed to be here in God's house to worship Him. The psalmist said, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all people." Sing to the Lord a new song. Let's do that now in our opening praise as we join in the praise of God. Now let us unite together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for all your love and your goodness to us. We realize the earth is full of the goodness of God. And Lord, we see it all around us day by day. We thank you for the sunshine even today as it streams through the windows. And it reminds us so much of that you are the one who is our faithful God, and you never leave nor forsake your people. Our gracious God, we come with thankful hearts today. Thankful because of you, the way you've looked after us and cared for us. You have blessed us even during this past week, and we thank you indeed for your love to us and our homes, and keeping us safe when we've been on the roads, wherever we have been. We thank you for your love and your goodness to us. And for, Lord, for your goodness to those who are separated from us, even perhaps those who are separated by quite a long distance, loved ones and other places. We thank you for being with them and for your blessing upon them. But oh, we come a needy people today. We need you so much, Lord. We sometimes sing, we need you every hour, most gracious Lord. And we do need, Lord, that help and the strength that only you can give each day. And so we pray that you would help us, Lord, each day to live for you, each day to show forth your love, each day to seek to, that the Lord Jesus would be exalted in all that we do, that you would bless us and guide us, Lord, day by day. Forgive us for those times whenever we get so taken up with the things around us, and good and legitimate things as they are. But Lord, forgive us that we get so taken up with them that we forget to worship you, we forget to praise you, that your word sits a closed book in our homes and we don't open it. And Lord, forgive us. Help us indeed to remember that every day is your day, and we must give you the praise and the honor and the glory each day. But Lord, we thank you again, especially for your love to us in Jesus. Truly we rejoice in the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Oh, may our hearts be just, may they be thrilled as we remember all that he has done for us. When we remember Calvary and how he died in our place, how his body was broken, his blood was shed, but we rejoice that all who come unto him, the precious blood of Jesus cleanses from every stain. And so we come with thankful hearts today, thanking you for all that the Lord Jesus has done for us and means to us. And we rejoice today to worship, to praise you. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to lift up our voices in thanksgiving, that you would help us to open our minds more and more to hear your word clearly set forth, that we would go from this place desiring only to walk with you and to show forth your love wherever we go. Bless, Lord, today wherever your word is proclaimed, where every vacancy, every congregation, where your people are met, whether there be many or few, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us, and may we be very conscious of your blessing. May we be very conscious, Lord, that you are in our midst, and that in this day your people would be strengthened. And Lord, those yet who know not the Savior would be drawn savingly to him, to rejoice, to say, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus. So bless us, Lord, now in all that we do, and guide us in this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us read together from God's word. We're going to read a few verses, first of all, from the book of James. James chapter 4, and then after that we're going to read from Luke chapter 12. So first of all, James chapter 4 and verse 13. Verse 13, now listen, you who say, tomorrow or today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Now let us turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And reading from verse 54. Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. This is Jesus speaking. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and of the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present age or this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Amen, and God will bless to us this reading from his word this morning. Well, boys and girls, it's lovely to see you this morning. I'm maybe going to ask you just to think back just a whole day, not very long, just a whole day, and think to yourself, what did you do all day yesterday? Whenever, I'm sure you didn't sleep in too much now. I'm sure the boys and girls here don't sleep in too much. But whenever you got up and you got your breakfast now, what did you think of, like, how many games did you play? And how many books did you read? And what else did you do all day? Did you go out, help? Did you help your daddy, any of you? Did you help your mummy, any of you? I'm sure perhaps you did some of these things. But when sometimes you think to yourself, I have so much to do. I want to do this and I want to do that. And I want to read this book and I want to play that game. It's hard to fit it all in sometimes. And then you want to go out and play, and then you want to go read a book, and then your mummy or your daddy says, no, wait. It's 7:30. Time to get ready for bed, isn't it? Time to get ready for bed. That's what has to happen, doesn't it? Oh, you say, but I want to read this book a while longer. But no, it's time to get ready for bed. You wanted to do something else. But you see, you can't play games all day. You can't play all day. You have to do other things. I remember seeing a little boy of 9 or 10 years of age, and he was crying his eyes out. Oh, it was desperate. He was rubbing his eyes. It was sobbing, and you thought the world had fallen in. And you know what was wrong? His team had lost a football match. That's all. His favorite team had lost. Now that, you say, he shouldn't have been upset about that. He should have simply said, look, if you win, that's good. If you don't win, well, that's too bad, but you'll try better the next time. You congratulate the team that has won, and on you go. It's not that important, boys and girls. It's not that important. What is really important? What did the Lord Jesus say was important? Some people say, I have to do. Well, what did the Lord Jesus say? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean, to seek first the kingdom? Well, if you seek something, you say first, that means it must come first. It has got the priority. It's the most important. The kingdom of God, that means, of course, that you open your heart and you trust in Jesus and you follow Jesus. That's what it means. That you walk in his way. You do his will. Seek first the kingdom of God. The disciples, do you remember the disciples? Jesus said to them, some of them were fishing by the side of the lake, and he said, follow me. And they left their boats and they followed Jesus. That's following Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so, boys and girls, whenever your mum or your daddy would say to you now, and will say to you, maybe say, it's time to go to Sunday school. I hope you never say no. I hope you never say, look, I want to read this book instead. I hope you're always ready to go or come to church here and to worship God. You can never have more important things to do than that. Never have more important things to do. But the most important thing, of course, is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. Maybe some boys and girls in your class at school say, I wouldn't be bothered with that. But don't you listen. You say, look, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to walk with him day by day. It's so important that we follow the Lord Jesus. Now we're going to sing again, this time our second hymn, Come Holy Spirit, Come. Now let us again unite in prayer. Oh, how we need you, Lord. We pray that you would indeed come and meet us, each one of us, in deepest needs of our hearts. You alone can meet those needs. And we rejoice that we can say, as the Lord Jesus said, that if we come unto him, then he will in no wise cast us out. And we thank you for this wonderful assurance. We come today, Lord, asking that you would indeed bless the work in this congregation, these congregations. We pray that you would bless, Lord, the work amongst the boys and girls. And we pray every home where there are children, that you would guide the parents, that they might be able to lead their young people in the ways of truth and righteousness. And we pray for the older, the teenagers, the young people, maybe some of them now at college or university. Lord, we pray that you would be very near to them and help them as they study. And may they make friends with your other believers there and grow in grace even at their time. Whatever the subject they're studying, that they would still grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we do remember those who are not so well today. We pray your blessing upon any who are laid aside, especially those, Lord, who perhaps are in residential homes or nursing homes or in hospital. Lord, be very near to them and bless them. And may they know that your hand upon them, your presence with them, to know the comfort and that you alone can give. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that whatever stage of life we're at, you never leave nor forsake your people. And we pray for the preaching of your word too in this place week by week. Bless, Lord, your servant here, that he would be able to open up your word and not only hear, but guide him as far as the vacancies concerned, that he would be able to manage and to guide the folk in Drumore and Drumquin as well, that they might know your blessing and in your will that the vacancy would come to an end, that the right person of your choice would indeed come to open up your word there. Lord, as we think of the vacancy, we think of the students in the college, and we pray that you would be with them and bless them and help them as they study. May their zeal for you be deepened. May their love for you be just go deeper and deeper. And may their desire be to go out and to make known the wonderful message of salvation to all who they have responsibility for. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up other ministers for your glory, that you would pour out your spirit, make it clear to that the call that they would come and open up their hearts, that men indeed would respond to the wonderful this call and come and make known this glorious gospel. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for those in years gone by who taught us and those who opened up your word to us in Sunday school and platform and pulpit. And Lord, for the time whenever we heard so clearly of Jesus and his great love for us. And so we pray that you would bless all the work the work in these days in this place. We remember our land, Lord, at this time also, and pray that you would guide those who rule over us. Such difficult times we are in. And we pray, Lord, that even there would be quietness on our streets. There would be a desire to walk in the way of peace in these days. We see trouble in other places, and we pray, Lord, that it might it would decrease, and indeed there would be no trouble. And that instead of violence, men and women would seek after truth and righteousness. So bless us, Lord. We need you so much. We pray that you would so work in our hearts that our desire would be for you, Lord, and for your glory alone. So guide us now. Help us as we turn to your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I want us this morning to look together at this passage that we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, just five or so verses. You know, sometimes people say it's good we don't know what lies around the corner. We've heard that said many a time. And why do they say that? Well, they would say, well, it's because we wouldn't want to face it. If we knew we're going to have to face in a month's time some particular thing, we'd rather not know until this time to have to look forward all those days and think of what we're going to have to go through. But yet night after night on the news bulletins, and the politicians are asked about the future, aren't they? They're asked, when are the restrictions going to end? When are we going to be able to do the things that we once did, the same things years ago? When can we get back to normal? When can we do without wearing face masks and all sorts of questions? But of course, our leaders can't tell us. They have some idea, perhaps, of they think the way things are going up, but they're not sure. So what do you think then of someone? Have you met someone who said to you, I can tell the future? Remember years ago, maybe many years ago, there used to be people who positioned themselves in a little booth about Port Rush or somewhere like that. And this lady, Madam So-and-so, if you went in, she was supposed to be able to read the palm of your hand and tell you what the future was. Some of you, I'm sure, remember that. I don't think that it exists anymore. But if you met someone like that, you should steer clear of them. Would rightly steer clear of them. And yet, the sad thing is, there are people who are interested in the stars and astrology and so on. And people would say, thank your lucky stars. Well, now we shouldn't say that. That's silly saying that. Thank your lucky stars. I trust no one who's a Christian has anything to do with fortune telling. But what does the future hold? What does the future hold? And these verses we read from Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus spoke about those who wanted to tell the future. And notice in verse 54, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Now, in a sense, that is forecasting, of course, what's going to happen, isn't it? And what the weather should be, say, the next day. Now, we're nearly all interested in what the weather. We do listen to the weather forecast. We like to know if there's a storm coming, if there's going to be snow, or if there's going to be rain, or whatever the case might be. We listen to it constantly. But before there was the sophisticated weather forecasts on radio and TV, our forefathers would have predicted the weather by looking at the sky. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. They would have looked at the direction of the wind. They would have looked at the color of the sky. A red sky at night is a shepherd's delight, and a red sky in the morning is a shepherd's warning. We all know those sort of things. Now, the people the Lord Jesus spoke to did something the same. In verse 56, you see a cloud rising, he said, in the west, and you say it's going to rain, and it does. And the south wind blows, it's going to be hot. And so you could picture a couple of farmers like just standing in the evening time looking up at the sky and saying, I think it's going to be a good day tomorrow because look at the sky. Or I think it's not going to be a good day tomorrow. Look at the sky. And you could, even a couple of farmers, even today, doing exactly the same thing, saying, I think it's going to be a good day tomorrow. The people could tell the future as far as the weather was concerned. Well, they knew from experience, didn't they? They knew from experience. But then I want you to notice, Jesus spoke then very clearly about their inability to discern what is important. Verse 56, he says, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time, this present age?" Inability to discern what is really important. Now, first of all, let's ask the question, why are people so interested in the future, especially to know the weather forecast? Well, the answer, of course, is they want to get the most out of every day, don't they? They have maybe many plans made. They want nothing to hinder their plans. They have ambitions for the week ahead, perhaps. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do, and I don't want a snowstorm. Do we not often hear people say the day was ruined by the weather? You know, I used to talk to couples, young couples, about getting married. The way that nowadays that young couples, they come maybe a year in advance, or maybe some even longer, but more than a year in advance to make sure they get the right date and all the rest of it. And I remember I used to say to them, "Now, look, it could rain on the day that you've chosen, but don't think that that'll ruin your day." Of course, sometimes people would have said that the day was ruined, the wedding, with all the preparation, it was ruined because of the rain. Or the farmer who had turned the hay twice, and it was just absolutely beautiful, waiting on the baler, and then the rain comes on. Or the builder who had to stop when he was about to put the roof on the house. Or the holiday that everybody had planned for, and the rain came on, and it was a bad week, and it seemed to be ruined. You see, for many people, that's as far as it goes. My day, I want my day to be a good day. I want my day to be a good day. Every day is my day, really. No one else's. But what does the scripture say? The scripture tells us in Psalm 118, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." No, it's my day. I'm getting married tomorrow. I don't want rain tomorrow. I'm baling the hay tomorrow. I don't want rain tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day. No, but wait a minute. We've got it wrong, haven't we? The scripture tells us so clearly that it's God's day. Every day is his day. So how should we use each day if we love the Lord Jesus? How should we use each day? Well, we're to do everything for God's glory and the extension of his kingdom. Whatever the weather's like tomorrow, we're to do everything for his glory. If you go out in a thunderstorm tomorrow, still go out and seek to glorify God. Every day. Paul made it so clear in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, chapter 5, he said, redeem the time. Make good use of the time every day. Every day is God's day. You know, Charles Wesley, in one of his great hymns, put it so well when he said, "Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labor to pursue. Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all I think or speak or do." Now, that's so important, you see. Whatever you do, whatever you're going out to do tomorrow, whether you're a farmer or the postman or the accountant or the doctor or whoever you are, whatever you do it to the glory of God. "Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all I think or speak or do." That's the way that as God's people we should seek to live every day. To live for him and live for his glory. Time to be spent for God. Every gift he gives to be used for him. Now the people in Luke chapter 12 were blind to all that was important. They live for the moment, you see. They're just thinking, look, I want a good day tomorrow because I have so much to do tomorrow. Why think of the end of the week whenever you need a good day tomorrow? Why think of years ahead whenever you... Life is all about now, now. That's what they were thinking. It's all about now. Do we understand the present time? So look at, let's think about what these people judged to be unimportant. Jesus said, how is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? What was unimportant to them? Well, the coming of the Lord Jesus was unimportant. The coming of the Lord Jesus was unimportant. Yes, the scriptures had been so clear, and the people knew the scriptures. They knew that the very town that he would be born in would be Bethlehem. And whenever he came, he was announced by angels. He was worshipped by wise men. And yet John tells us he was rejected by his own. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now that what is important then? The coming of the Lord Jesus wasn't important. Like, we're on the verge of Christmas. I'm not, but a lot of people probably are. But they're on the verge of Christmas. And many people will really think about Jesus. Why did he come? You shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. Listen, if you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus came to save you. That's the most important thing that you need to know. That Jesus came to save you. And that's what Christmas is all about. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. But these people weren't concerned about that. After all, the Lord Jesus, he was a carpenter's son. Now what? Oh, now wait a minute, a carpenter's son. Why bother about him? Why bother about him? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, they said? Are there not so many who would say still, like, don't talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I have more things to do. All right, you talk about that on Sunday, but don't talk to me about Jesus. They don't want to think about it. I have to buy and to sell, and I have to go to the market tomorrow. I have to do this tomorrow. I hope it's a good day tomorrow. I have more important things to do than to think about Jesus. But also, not only did the coming of the Lord Jesus was unimportant, but the work of the Lord Jesus was unimportant. The people the Lord Jesus spoke to had many things to do, but what could the Lord Jesus do for them? What use was he in their lives, you might say? What use was he in their lives? You know, whenever you have to build a barn, like, what use is the Lord Jesus? Whenever you have to go out in a fishing boat, what use is the Lord Jesus? Whenever you have to collect taxes, these are the important things, the money. Jesus came to heal, Jesus came to save, but then people say that doesn't help with the budget. Does that help with the budget? Today, if you went out to many and said, look, the Lord Jesus can meet the deepest need of your heart. Listen, if you will turn from your sin and come to Christ, the Lord Jesus will meet the deepest need of your heart. They would probably, a lot of people would laugh at you and let you know, look, if I could just win the lottery, it would be far better. That's what it would have said where I was minister on the Shankill Road. No time for Jesus. No time for Jesus. The work of the Lord Jesus is not important. But then the offer of the Lord Jesus is not important either. When Jesus looked out over the city of Jerusalem and wept, and he said, you would not come unto me that you might have life. Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you shall never thirst again, never thirst again. But no, that's not important. I have so many other things to do. I wonder what would be a good day tomorrow. I have so many business opportunities, you know, I have to get it all sorted out. The offer of the Lord Jesus is not important. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added onto you. But no, I want a good day tomorrow to do my things. Do you not feel that many today have not the desire or the ability to discern what's important? Give everyone a sheet of paper this morning and say to you, what is the most important thing as far as your life is concerned? What is the most important thing? What sort of answer do you think you would get? We would get? I have got to do this. I have got to plan at Christmas. Look at how much I have to do before Christmas. Jesus said, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? How is it you don't know, you can't understand and see what really is important? That's what Jesus said. But then he goes on to tell us to judge in verse 57 to 59. He tells us, judge for yourselves what is right. Judge for yourselves what is right. The emphasis, the need to make the right judgment. We need to understand, of course, what is important. What is the most important decision for you or me to take? What the Lord Jesus calls every one of us to do. Am I following him? Is he the one who's my Savior? Is he the one that I love? Is he the one that I'm depending upon? Am I on the Lord's side or am I not? That's the most important thing, isn't it? Nothing is more important than that. Judge, he says, what is important? Have I been reconciled to God through Jesus? If I am not, then it is of the utmost importance that I am reconciled to him. It's not worrying about the weather tomorrow, but my relationship to God. And in order to illustrate this, Jesus then tells a story here in verse 58. He tells, as you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. It's a very graphic illustration, isn't it? You know, if someone accuses you of something and going to bring you to court, what's the sensible thing to do? What's the sensible thing to do? Is it to dig your heels in and say, I'll fight him every inch of the way? Is that the right thing to do? That's not the sensible thing to do. Let's say that you have a big dog, big floppy ears and all the rest. Maybe not much between its ears, but you know, a lovely big thing. You're very fond of it. And your neighbor doesn't have a dog, but your neighbor has this most beautiful garden and loveliest bed of tulips and all the rest of it. And one day your dog jumps over the fence and has a real good time to itself in the flower bed, you know, the lovely soft soil. You can just imagine the dog rolling over and over and having a great time. Now, what is a sensible thing to do? If your neighbor's going to take you to court to get compensation, what should you do? Should you employ solicitors and try and argue it out and say, but you know, you should have had a far higher fence? Or you should have had something down to keep the dog back? Is that what you Is that what you'd do? Well, that would be foolishness. That would be foolishness. If your dog did the damage, what you must do is to make things right with your neighbor. That's what you should do. You should be around at their door immediately and say, look, I'm terribly sorry my dog got in. I shouldn't have got in. I know it's my fault. Look, I'll fix it all up for you. Just tell me, help me, whatever it needs, I'll fix it for you. That's what you need to do. Before your neighbor brings you to the court, you need to go round and make things right, to be reconciled with your neighbor. Jesus says, don't go before the judge, because you could end up in prison, in verse 58. Now, the spiritual application of this is very clear, isn't it? It's very clear, easy for us to understand. Your sin and mine is so great, and one day we'll all stand before the judge of all the earth. You know and I know that the judgment day is coming. One day we're all going to stand before him and give an account of all that we have done. And he will judge righteously. So what is a sensible thing to do? Because my sin is great. Your sin is great. Can we go before God in our sin? Before that day comes, we must be reconciled. We must be reconciled. And that awful day is coming. You know, I remember hearing or reading years ago, or not that many years ago, of a trial in Germany. And there was one of the guards who used to keep the prisoners in one of these concentration camps. You know, the Nazis who had especially Jewish people all locked up. Many of them died. Well, one of these guards was on trial, and they had got one of the men who was in the camp. He was a Jew, and he was in the courtroom as well, and he came in and he looked at this guard, and both of them were very old men at this time, very old men. And the Jew very wisely said to him, you and I will soon have to meet our judge. Tell the truth, he said. Tell the truth. Wasn't that something to say? Was that not absolutely spot on? You and I will soon have to meet our judge. And you and I will have to meet our judge. And the only way we can meet him unafraid is to know Jesus, to know our sins forgiven, to know that he has taken away our sin and that we have been reconciled to God. Then we can stand unafraid before him. Paul said there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When there is time, you notice what Jesus says? When you're going to the magistrate, he says, whenever you have time, now you have time. Tomorrow you mightn't have time. Because tomorrow you might be called from this scene of time, and so might I. But while you have time, be reconciled. This is a clear teaching here of the Lord Jesus. How can anybody, if you get thrown into prison, how can anybody pay from prison? It's a hopeless situation. And there's no reprieve, no reprieve. So what could be more important than this? I say to the boys and girls, what's the most important thing to do? I say to every one of us, what's the most important thing to do? It's that you are reconciled with God, that your sin is taken away, and that you are, know that you're on your way to glory, on your way to heaven. Now, I don't want some of you young people to, I know your examinations are important. And I know that there are other things that people have to do are important. And I would say to you, you work hard at your examinations. You do well at your examinations. Those are important. But nothing is more important than knowing Jesus. Nothing is more important than knowing Jesus. That we might stand in that last great day complete in Him. So could I ask you then in conclusion, do you understand what is important? Or maybe you go home today and you think to yourself, I wonder will it be a good day tomorrow? Look what I have to do tomorrow. Is that what you'll say? But what is more important than your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Don't drift on, but come to Him. Open your heart to Him if you have never done so. And be reconciled. Be reconciled to God. And go on your way with Him. Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that the Lord Jesus makes it so clear what is important. Help us to understand this, Lord, and day by day to walk having this true importance before us, to know Jesus, to trust in Him, and to rejoice in all that He has done for all who trust Him. So bless us, Lord. Bless this congregation. Bless every home. Pour out Your Spirit, Lord, upon us, we pray. And may there be that rejoicing day by day as Your people travel the road that goes to heaven and to home. For we ask this all in our Savior's name. Amen. Our final hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the
grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each one this day and forevermore. Amen.